store. When the storms
the Lord is my shepherd.
Oh yeah, I hadn't heard that in a long time. That's a good one. Testing. Good for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. For saving
my soul, thank you, Lord, for making me whole.
Through many dangerous toils and snares, we have already come. His grace hath brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Grace. Grace, think about it. Maybe the most beautiful word in the Bible is grace. And in 1 Peter 3, it says, heirs together of the grace of life. I'm glad God never runs out of grace. But he doesn't give us grace to waste. He gives us grace when we need it. Amen. One day at a time. So here in 1 Peter 3:7, it talks about heirs together of the grace of life. It takes a lot of grace for life. Heirs, of course, it's an inheritance. It's ours to enjoy. And together means there's enough for both husband and wife, regardless of the problems, both. Both. After God created man and woman, one of their earliest first things and on earth's first human inhabitants was they messed up, they disobeyed, they sinned. And that has affected all of us down through the ages. And so, a model for giving grace. God understands our hurts because we hurt him. God gets hurt. We fall short of his expectation. We make promises to God sometimes that we don't keep. Our sin causes God to grieve. But he, the injured one, the innocent and holy one, still holds out forgiveness. Love and marriage takes a lot of forgiveness. There's not anybody in here that doesn't need forgiveness. And it's very painful when a husband and wife, when they get angry and upset and begin to hurt each other, that they bring up sometimes things that happened years ago. And they keep bringing it up and bringing it up. They haven't really forgiven. And they're having a hard time with it because, as I said earlier, it's not really so much. It's God forgiving them through us, God loving them through us. And when you don't let go and you don't forget, you keep making your spouse make payments, paying for something they did or said many, many years ago. And it robs us of the best years of our life. I don't think I would have to convince anybody here today that life is short, unpredictable, fragile. And that's why we need to enjoy it and use it carefully every day. And don't waste time holding grudges, not speaking, dwelling on things that just hold, it almost paralyzes marriages or relationships like that. We have to have a lot of forgiveness. And so Hebrews chapter 10, if you have your Bible, Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 17. And their sins and iniquities, God says, will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. God, Christ doesn't need to die again. All of our sins are forgiven and forgotten. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much and so much more as you see the day approaching. So here's a model. Let me give you four aspects. Number one, grace chooses not to keep score. Grace chooses not to keep score. Aren't you glad that when we get to heaven, God's not going to say, now let's talk about your sin? A lot of people think, boy, I hate it when God's got to go through all that. No. Your sin's already been judged. If you put Christ, if you trust Christ your Savior, you're not going to have to give an account ever again. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. We're going to be judged for how we worked and how we spent our life, our stewardship. What did we do with God? Whatever God puts in our hands, yes. But that's going to be judged for rewards or lack of rewards, but not for sin. God doesn't keep score, and so we shouldn't try to keep score with people, especially with our spouse. When we say we forgive, we're expressing a decision to let go of the offense and a refusal to hold it against the offender anymore, and to ask and pray that God will bring healing from that hurt. Number two, God's grace chooses not to be demanding. Demanding. God is telling us here in this verse that grace is unconditional. Unconditional. Forgiveness is not like a down payment with future installments due. If you add demands like, I will forgive you if, or I will forgive you when, then you're no longer offering grace. You're proposing a deal. You're requiring a wage, some kind of payment before you will act, and grace will have no part of such an arrangement. Grace. Number three, grace chooses not to withhold love. Grace chooses not to withhold love. He followed his promise with an invitation to reconciliation in Hebrews that we just read, verse 19 through 22. God not only wants to encourage you to trust his forgiveness, but he wants you to draw near to him so that your relationship can get back on track. Likewise, a grace response to an offense in our marriage is to invite a spouse back into a reconciled love relationship. So the signal is clear. You, the offended one, are to be taking the initiative and inviting repair, renewal, reconciliation, rather than withholding love. That you take grace. That takes grace to do any of these things, the grace of God that's running through you. When you have grace, anger can be diffused. When you let the grace of God come into your life and flow out of your life, dignity can be preserved, gratitude can grow, peace can be restored, joy can be retrieved, confidence can be rebuilt, trust can find a fresh footing. The devil is knocked down, and God smiles. He smiles on you, and he smiles on your family. Remember last night I said if the devil can hurt us at home, he can hurt us all over. I just don't think we comprehend how much the devil hates us. He hates God, but the way to get to God is to hurt God's pride and joy, and that's you and me, his children, his bought, his redeemed. That's how the devil gets back at God. I heard a story one time of a black preacher that, boy, you know, black preachers, when they're preaching the Bible, they're hard to beat. I mean, they get in that rhythm, and I just enjoy that. I love to hear them. But there was this one black preacher, and boy, I mean, he was going. And he asked the congregation, as they often do, he says, does the devil ever visit your house? And you know how the black congregation goes, oh, mm-hmm, yes, yes, sir. I mean, they just all over the place. Well, there was this one young black man dressed in a suit, nice guy, and he was sitting right there on the front. And after everybody responded, got quiet, he says, no, sir. And the preacher, that was kind of like a challenge to the preacher. What's he going to say? And he gets on it again. He says, does the devil ever visit your house? And everybody go, mm-hmm, yes, sir, on. And this guy says, no, sir. I mean, what's the guy going to do? So he comes over to the guy and he says, you mean the devil never visits your house? He goes, no, sir. He just stay there all the time. Have you ever had a day in your family, in your home, when the devil didn't try to poke his nose in the door or try to do something? But the Bible says we can, by the grace and help of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we can resist the devil. And when we humbly submit to God and to each other, it's almost like tying his hands. The devil don't know what to do because he's all about pride. And pride is what keeps most marriages from ever succeeding. Pride keeps us from saying, I'm sorry. Pride keeps us from saying, I shouldn't have said that. I didn't do right. I lied. I did this. I did that. Pride. It's our biggest problem. And the only way to overcome that is through the grace of God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I want to end with a song. I wasn't planning on doing this. And it's one some of you guys know, you know especially. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. You heard that? When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon a sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, Stand by me in the midst of tribulation. Stand by me when the world is tossing me like a ship upon a sea. Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. But I always like this one. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends, my wife, my husband, my kids misunderstand, thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. If we just got to keep our own heart right with God, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Keep yourself, your heart, right with God, and you'll make it by the grace of God. But if you just get bitter, after all these years I've been pastor, I've seen bitterness destroy marriages and homes and children and churches and lives. They just get angry and they internalize that anger instead of getting it out, and it gets bigger and heavier and heavier and heavier. Depression is anger turned inward. And you get to the place of what's the use? What's the use? Aren't you glad you're a Christian? What do people do that don't have God, don't have a church, don't have a Bible, don't have any hope? Can you imagine living like that? Some of you can remember what it was like. And we work and live around people like that every day. Thank you for being here today, and thank you for your prayers. I hope something, we'll finish tomorrow, but hope something encouraged you and helped you a little bit. We're all in the same boat. I am not an authority on anything. I've been through some trials like you have. Some of you have been through worse trials than I have. But what a day that will be when we get home. And no more trials, no more problems, no more disappointments, no more weeping. What a day.